Yo, 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 welcome to the Roundtable Network News. I'm your boy, the franchise player, Double B Bad Blood, joined by the Drew Nicholas, and we're back live again here on a Saturday. WrestleMania has been there, then, now, and forever. It is gone now. We have a new unified WWE Undisputed World Heavyweight Champion, the man himself, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. WrestleMania Night 1, Night 2, lots of memories. Great show all around. We watched it here live last week. It has been 7 days removed since The Rock and Roman Reigns defeated Cody Rhodes and won Seth Rollins to set up tomorrow night, last week actually, last Sunday, to set up Bloodline Rules, which we really didn't see Bloodline Rules until like maybe like 4 minutes before the match was even over. But great show all in all. This week, wrestling has been off the fucking chain. Drew, so many stories, so many crazy things happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So many crazy things. We're going to talk about things unrelated to the wild and craziness of Wednesday night. Drew, let's talk about some of these WWE.
So they've been releasing. Generally, what tends to end up happening is once WrestleMania is over, for the past, like, 3-4 years now, I want to say, they release wrestlers. That's, like, kind of the thing that's been done for a while now. However, this time around, what's been coming out the past week since WrestleMania came and went, some backstage people, a long-time employee, Sue Atchison, is no longer with WWE. Sue, as first reported by PW Insider, longtime employee, Sue Atchison, exited the company on April 12th. She was let go in 2019. Atchison was inducted into WWE's Hall of Fame via the Warrior Award. She started with the company in the mid-1980s.
A lot of you people weren't even alive in the mid-80s.
Me included. I wasn't alive in the mid-80s. And she'd been with the company for that long. So they got rid of Sue.
Well, she served as the WWE Senior Director for Talent Relations, too. In this past week, a lot of talent relations guys got released.
Yes.
Who else got released, Drew?
Because the EVP of talent, Dan Ventrell, was released just yesterday, I believe it was, after a year and a half with the company. So not as long as Sue. Oh, but no. He served there for a year and a half. But it was reported that he seemingly was not adored by talent on a professional level. Wow. Several were pointing the finger at him as a reason why many deals have nearly reached expiration. Fightful was told that he was actively discussing several new deals at the time of his return, but several within the industry didn't feel as if he was an appropriate fit for that position. So they let him go. And in fact, right before we were coming on air here, I saw an interesting story that Natalia's contract is coming up soon. Speaking of that very same thing, Natalia's contract is coming up soon, and they hadn't even begun to talk about a new contract for her. So that could definitely tie into that. Was per Fightful Select, by the way. Natalia's WWE contract is set to expire over the next couple of months, and there haven't been talks between both sides. As we also know, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, Finn Balor, and up until recently, Cody Rhodes as well, all had not signed new contracts with WWE. Now, the status of Seth, Becky, Drew, and Finn, we do not know yet. But we do know Cody Rhodes signed a new contract. So, so that was interesting. So I found it like they kind of tie in together. It seems that Dan Ventrell was not fit for this position if all these major stars were not having contract negotiations leading up to the months after they were soon to expire. So,
do you feel that he just wasn't a good negotiator, or is the thought that he just was not cut out for that job? I mean, he hasn't been there that long.
No, only a year and a half.
Yeah.
Sometimes, continuing that, they had also released former NXT UK general manager Sid Scala. PW Insider reported that Scala, who had last wrestled in 2023, had been with WWE as a part of the NXT UK brand from December 2018 through the end of the brand's weekly series in September of 2022. He had worked behind the scenes as a coach and producer, but had not been utilized there since the end of his on-air role, where he portrayed the assistant GM under British wrestling legend Johnny Saint. So that's three people now that we know of from behind the scenes, not wrestlers, who have been released. However, there is also, and I could tie this into this potentially, it could be, we don't know 100% yet, could be that Drew Gulak, who was in the news earlier this week or like mid last week, Ronda Rousey had a story to tell. So in regards to Drew Gulak, he's currently under scrutiny due to allegations of sexual misconduct levied at him by Ronda Rousey. As noted by many during the NXT match on Tuesday, the no quarter catch crew, which Drew Gulak was a part of in NXT, their Titantron was changed to omit Gulak's name. Fightful Select's Corey Brennan was told that it's a relatively easy change to make, and that the choice to use Charlie Dempsey's music was intentional as well. So they were using Drew Gulak's music, but now they're using Charlie Dempsey's music. Corey Brennan from Fightful learned that over WrestleMania weekend, Gulak was pulled from several appearances, most notably was removed from his seat at the Hall of Fame after a producer noticed he was in attendance and in close proximity to someone close to Rousey's inner circle of friends.
Maybe Shayna Baszler.
So we're not reporting that Drew Gulak is no longer with the company, but as of right now, it seems that he will not be doing anything on air for the immediate future. We don't know if that's going to be a long-term thing, if he's going to be released. We haven't heard any reports of that yet. But that's just a long list of all of this crazy stuff just in the past week to week and a half, not talking about the events of WrestleMania and everything that's come since then.
So much stuff, man. Like I was saying, there's so much stuff that we can talk about. Like, I mean, some of this stuff has been beat to death. You know, that's why we're not talking about it, because some of the stuff has been completely beat to death. But I will say this. A lot of these releases, a lot of people like this with Natty's contract not being renewed or not even being discussed. Like a lot of people are dropping the ball. Wrestling is like, you know, you got Ariel Helwani being censored by a company for comments and for a post. You got people getting released left and right due to the new regime in the WWE. And Triple H is the guy that's in charge of everything now when it comes to talent. People were reporting to Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels reports with Triple H. So it's really funny that CM Punk was right once again when he said that Vince's doofus son-in-law will be running the company. Lo and behold.
And for good cause.
And for a good cause. Like, he is running the company. He's been, things have changed. Things have, like changed. There's a funny picture on Twitter from Draven at Wrestling Covers. There's a picture of the WWE champion and the new IWGP champion, which I'm going to talk about right now, because the new NJPW heavyweight champion of the world was crowned last night. John Moxley defeats Tencent to just, wow. John Moxley defeats Naito to become the new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion in Chicago. He is the eighth champion to hold that title. Moxley scored Japan with a Death Rider in the main event. New Japan's Wendy Riott. Moxley is, like I said, they've got to hold the title. The event aired live on New Japan World, but it will replay, will premiere on the 16th on Thriller TV. So we have a new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. And it's a funny picture because it's him and Cody Rhodes together flipping off the camera as world champions. WWE. I love it.
To add to that, because I just saw this today somewhere. I don't remember where, so I apologize for not giving credit. But it turns out that John Moxley is the first person in history to hold the WWE Championship, the AEW Championship, and the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship.
Wow.
So that is quite
a feat in itself.
And congratulations to him, because that,
oh my God, yes.
That is seriously a great thing.
Seriously. So many good things happened this week. I love professional wrestling. I don't like the tribalism. And right there, that picture screws the tribalism, because you have a New Japan champion who is also under contract to AEW with a WWE champion who was formerly of AEW, and now they're in the same picture together, proving that, guess what, IWC? It's okay for wrestling to coexist. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Things like that make me happy and make me proud to be part of professional wrestling when I see something like that. Speaking of professional wrestling, let's talk about this, because we discussed it a little earlier. Pulse Wrestling posted a new role for Rocky Romero before part of New Japan Pro Wrestling's Windy City Riot. Rocky Romero appeared in front of the crowd inside the Wintrust Arena in Chicago. According to Lucha Blog, who was in attendance, Romero announced that he is now serving as the vice president of talent for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Rocky is heading up the New Japan Strong events. He continues to be a liaison between NJPW and other companies, other promotions like CMLL, AEW, whatever, whatnot. So Rocky Romero, and let me tell you a little story about Rocky Romero. I first met him at Ultimate Pro Wrestling, Southern California, which, when it was a developmental for the WWE, I wrestled many tag team matches against them, Rocky Romero and Ricky Reyes, to Los Cubanitos. To see Rocky grow from that little skinny kid with TJ Perkins as their third, to grow from such a little, to grow from such a tag team and group to being the man at New Japan Pro Wrestling, being the man at CMLL, being one of the most sought-after talents all over the world. Shout out to Rocky Romero, man. Like this guy is the living embodiment of hard work and success in professional wrestling. So shout out to him, man. Shout out to Pulse Wrestling for that story, too. Thank you very much for that. So now let's dive into
something that... about Hook.
Oh yeah, let's talk about Hook. Yeah, let's get into that Hook.
Let's. There are many hookers out there. I am one. I am a Hook fan.
The phrase "hookers" gets me every time.
However, Ashley Scoop reported a few days ago, April 11th, AEW's Hook plans to explore free agency this year.
Uh-oh.
and WWE is interested. So, SE Scoops reported a popular second-generation pro wrestler is poised to let WWE and AEW compete for his talents. Hook, whose real name is, I've actually not known his real name, it's posted here, Tyler Sinertia, I believe. Tyler Sinertia, Hook's real name, is interested in exploring his options in free agency once his contract with All Elite Wrestling expires later this year. A source familiar with WWE's recruitment strategy commented, I can see WWE clearly being interested in him, and who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be? Hook is the son, of course, of wrestling legend and AEW broadcaster Taz. He joined AEW in 2020, known as the Cold-Hearted Handsome Devil. He's 24 years old and has achieved a great deal during his young career. He is in his second reign as FTW champion, of course, introduced by his father in ECW. Hook has not only improved in-ring skills, but has also shown a level of innate charisma that you either have or you don't. And that is certainly, that defines Hook, his charisma, for sure. Time at the Performance Center and integration into WWE's unparalleled talent developmental system could significantly boost his long-term prospects. Recently, AEW has a notable success signing wrestlers like Will Ospreay, Mercedes Moné, Kazuchika Okada. I make sure to say that right every single time.
Kazuchika Okada.
And, of course, Adam Copeland, while WWE has attracted Julia and several former AEW stars, of course, including Jade Cargill, Andrade, Brian Pillman Jr., Sean Spears, the biggest out of all, CM Punk. So, you know, this year is a very, very big year. As SE Scoops has reported, as Sean Ross Sapp has reported, it is a big year in contracts in wrestling. A lot of more contracts. As we just listed a few names, they're going to be Drew, Seth, Becky, Natalya. Later this year, Hooks is coming up. We know Finn Balor's. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of people that could end up switching sides if they wanted to. So that's going to be really interesting to see this year.
Speaking of switching sides, WWE. WWE announced on their Twitter page on April 12th that CM Punk will be live during both nights of the WWE draft. So in Cincinnati on April 26th, yes. And in Kansas City on April 29th, CM Punk is eligible for Raw and for SmackDown. It's going to be crazy. We talked about it last night on the show. I don't know, man. Like, there's so much that can happen. It's just, it's wild. But let's talk about this real quick. Kenny Omega. Okay, I really don't want to talk too much about the CM Punk issues with AEW, the brawl out. The brawl in, whatever you want to call it, all this brawling crap. Every news outlet out here is chopping at the bit to talk about the CM Punk tape, the release on Dynamite of the CM Punk tape. Well, let's just say this. When you're over in two different promotions, one you don't even work in, when you're the needle mover for that company too, mistakes have made. WCW 2024. That's all I'm going to say. But with that being said, Kenny Omega, he opened up about AEW's brawl out, about getting CM Punk's dog out of the way. Okay. Omega opens up about, you know, the altercation between CM Punk, Ace Steel, and Matthew and Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks. At this time, all parties involved were reprimanded. Fast forward to present day, CM Punk nor Ace Steel are no longer with the company. Punk got into a physical altercation with Jack Perry at All Out. And basically, it just states that basically what he said was, as an EVP, he did what he thought was best. And, like, honestly, as a professional wrestler, let me rephrase that. In other sports, hockey, basketball, football, baseball, tennis, croquet, whatever that thing is where they use the curling, whatever, in all sports. Not all team members are going to get along. And sometimes teams, you know, if I've watched during football practices where teammates get into it, where they scuffle. Where if you get into a fight with someone, the best thing you do is you get into that fight with someone. And when it's over, you shake hands, it's over and done with. And in the era of wrestling that I come from, that stuff doesn't get broadcast on television. We don't waste sponsorship ad money or precious television time to air footage of a fight backstage. The footage altercation that was shown live on Dynamite, Kenny Omega took to his Twitch stream on the 12th of April and opened up about the situation. He said he ventured into this conversation saying that he's saying he has not had power within AEW in over 4 years. He feels he's a terrible executive vice president and does not deserve the role, although he is always willing to give people advice whenever they're asked. He basically stated that he's from the we get into a fight, we shake hands, it's over and done with era of wrestling. And in my opinion, he really did not approve of anything that happened on Wednesday night. You know, I agree with him. I don't agree with anything that happened on Wednesday night. Be it to a storyline to make money afterwards, you know, bashing another person or trying to bash them, playing the spoiled rich kid game. Like, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to expose you for this. And, oh, great, now I look stupid. Let me go ahead and place trademark infringements on everyone who posts it. That was ridiculous. These are my opinions as well as his opinion, apparently, because he thought it was dumb too. But for someone under contract to AEW to state those obvious feelings about the situation at hand, that it should have happened. Sometimes those things are needed to happen. Sometimes he said, sometimes you got to throw hands. And when it's over and done with, that's it. So I agree with that. Sometimes you got to throw.
After it's over and done, you shake the hand.
You shake the hands and it's over and done with.
Same hand that you balled up and tried to punch somebody with, you put out and you shake it.
Exactly. I mean, you know how many times I've been in a locker room and someone's just gone over the edge and, you know, I punch him in the face, or I've been the asshole and they punch me in the face. And when it was over and done with, we still worked together and we made money. Because that's what this business is about, working together, making money. There's 100,000 people in the world that I may not like, but I will get in the ring and work with if the money is right and the story is right. So with that being said, congratulations to Kenny Omega for being one of the most upstanding guys in professional wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, if you follow me on Facebook, you know I wrote out a long editorial about what I felt about that situation. And it's been looked at by a lot of people. I appreciate the ones that liked and commented. Thank you, Drew, for giving me your thumbs up when I sent it to you as well, because those words came from my heart. I want to read something to you guys. Before we go any further, I want to read something to you guys that I posted on Facebook this morning. You ever just like watch something and you get the goosebumps, you get the chills, you know, you get that, wow, this was really awesome feeling. You know, I remember, Drew, you and I talked about losing your zest for professional wrestling. Like, so much stuff was going on in professional wrestling, you're just like, ugh, I'm getting tired of it. Yeah, well, that
was very recently.
Yeah, that was recently. As a matter of fact, I was watching, can I say this? I was watching the WWE induction, the Hall of Fame induction video a while ago, and it was of Dusty Rhodes. And it almost brought me to tears, so I posted this on Facebook. In the world of professional wrestling, there has never been a more humble man than the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. In 2007, Dusty Rhodes was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, and in true Dusty fashion, what he did, he put over every person he's ever had the pleasure of sharing the ring with. Every person. Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Harley Race, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. He talked about guys like Cena. He talked about Triple H. The guy put over so many people. In a world where pro wrestlers are more worried about putting themselves over than the people they work with, I encourage everyone to be a pro wrestler, to be more like Dusty Rhodes. The man was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. It was his night. It was his, in our, we say this a lot on our trivia show, but it was his time to shine. And he put over every person he's ever stepped in the ring with. That's what I think Kenny Omega did.
That was in similar fashion to Paul Heyman.
Exactly.
Paul Heyman put over Triple H.
Everybody.
Stephanie McMahon. He put over Dusty. He put over a number of people too. And I was,
and that's where I was going with that.
Incredible thing to ever be to witness. As I was there watching that live, that was absolutely incredible. One of the greatest Hall of Fame speeches ever. But I would love to go back and see the Dusty Rhodes one.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It was such, it was so good. It was like 26 minutes. But Dustin Rhodes there, and they, you know, he mentioned his wife and his kids, and he just put over everyone, everyone. I mean, God, he was putting over people that I forgot about, you know, and for someone to spend their time that's supposed to be focused on them, focusing on other people. And at the end of it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. He said, Ric Flair, please stand up. Arn Anderson, please stand up. Harley Race, please stand up. And he said, Ric Flair, I'm asking you and UNAA to allow Harley Race and I to be part of the Four Horsemen. It was so great. It was so great, man. It tickled me. It tickled me to see that. And that right there was our, was one of our, one of our moments in history, like professional wrestling history. Cause that happened today in 2007, the WWE Hall of Fame. That was one of the things that I wanted to talk about there.
Yeah.
But go ahead. What were you going to say?
So we talked about contracts earlier, about people's contracts coming up, new contracts being signed. Last night, we found out the Bloodline has a new member.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know about their contract status, but I'm going to assume they've got one. Because they were on WWE TV. Tama Tonga debuted last night on SmackDown as a part of someone's Bloodline. Which one yet? We don't know.
We don't know.
Because Paul Heyman expert, just the way that they did this last night was so incredible. This is not part of the story. This is me talking, because legitimately what you could see immediately from the first time you saw the Bloodline post, because there was no Bloodline on Raw.
That's right. None.
Except The Rock. But they showed Solo, Heyman, Jimmy Uso walking through a hallway, going to what used to be their locker room, because Roman was the champion for so long. But now that Cody is the champion, and Cody was there, ain't your locker room anymore. And they even had, they had Kevin Owens be like, oh, you all aren't invited in here.
So funny.
It was awesome. But what I noticed from that shot, what would usually be the case is Roman, Paul Heyman, Jimmy, Solo. That would be like the order of people. Solo was front and center. And Heyman was following him with Jimmy in the background. And I saw, oh, okay.
Got a little nugget, interesting. A little nugget was sprinkled in for you right there.
Yeah. So then they get to the ring. And Heyman is talking, and he beautifully put over why Roman lost, which everyone kind of figured out later on, remembering that Seth said he was going to be Cody's shield. He tied all those storylines together beautifully. But then Solo interrupts Paul Heyman, and he's like, losing has consequences. And at first, I thought he was talking about Roman. I was like, Oh,
maybe he was talking about Roman.
Yeah, well, right. So he turns to his brother, Jimmy, and hugs him and says that he loves him. And Jimmy thought that he was going to attack him at first. And they play that off. He's like, oh, no, I'm not attacking you. I love you. I'll give you a hug. And then out of nowhere, Tama Tonga debuts, takes out Jimmy, Paul's in the corner with like this look of terror on his face. And what he said, two things that happened in this segment. One thing he says, I'm going to call the tribal chief. He tells, goes to the phone to like call, you know, with Siri, like call Roman Reigns. Solo rips that phone out of his hand and smashes it. And then while Jimmy is in the corner with the chair on his neck and Solo sets up in the other corner, Paul says, this is not what the tribal chief wanted.
He screamed it. This is not what the tribal chief wanted.
So it's like, it was amazing. Weird. It was like, it was the refresh that the bloodline needed, honestly, to get you hooked again. Because I was like, how are you going to get hooked after this loss? What are they going to do? And man, they hit a grand slam with this segment. So Tama Tonga is, of course, now in the WWE, part of the bloodline. He'd been eyed for WWE for quite some time. Solo Sikoa introduced him last night in the bloodline, kicking Jimmy Uso out. So they kicked Jimmy Uso out. They replaced him with Tama Tonga. And Tonga's official WWE debut was a long time coming and one that had been expected the last few months, because I had remembered Fightful had reported, I think it was right after the Royal Rumble, that Tama Tonga was in talks to join WWE. So, now, of course, there's also Tonga Loa, who was in WWE years ago. I forgot what his name was.
He was Humberto.
What was it?
I think it was Humberto. He was doing a Hispanic gimmick. Let me look.
Yeah, I don't remember what his name was. But Tonga Loa and Hikuleo are both his brothers,
yes,
in Japan. And there isn't any info yet on whether they've been contacted by WWE to be a part of this. But Jacob Fatu has been contacted and has been signed by WWE and was backstage at WrestleMania. So one idea that's been floated internally was Fatu teaming with Tama Tonga, because their fathers, Haku and the Tonga Kid, teamed together in the 80s, known as the Islanders.
Yep, Haku and Tama. And then so, it was Sam Fatu. Is there someone?
It's really interesting to see if we could get like a new infusion of the bloodline with Solo, with Tama Tonga, with Jacob Fatu. And we had talked about this.
Camacho. That was a gimmick he wrestled. He wrestled with Camacho, as part of a tag team, Camacho and Huneko.
Okay.
Huneko. Right. Yeah.
So he has debuted officially. Jacob Fatu, we don't know yet what is going to happen with Jacob, but he is officially signed. That's been reported by Fightful. And what
could be reported by me, your fans, told me.
Well, that too. The unofficial report came from the franchise, but the official report came from Fightful.
Exactly.
The next segment was Paul coming out of the medical
trainer's
room, and was going to give an interview on Jimmy, but then Tama Tonga showed up, and God, Paul Heyman is just an expert. at all of
them. Hall of Famer.
He is a rest, not just a WWE, but a wrestling Hall of Famer, truly. The way that he is able to tell a story. Not even just with his words, but with his facial expressions, with his reactions. Yeah. It's so top tier. He just cowers as Tama Tonga comes up to him. And Tama Tonga says, "For the tribal chief."
Oh yeah, by order of the tribal chief.
By order of the tribal chief. Doesn't say Roman Reigns. Just says by orders of the tribal chief. So who is the tribal chief? Will the real tribal chief please stand up? Is it Roman Reigns making these shots without Paul Heyman knowing? Or has the tribal chief now become the final boss?
So in our group chat on Facebook, in our personal group chat on Facebook, one of our buddies put in our group chat, Survivor Series War Games. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
The Rock, Solo, Jacob Fox, and Tongaloa versus
Tama Tonga,
I'm sorry. Jimmy and Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, and Sami Zayn.
that
would be funny.
But you know what? I could see that happening.
I can see it happening too.
Because obviously, from what, again, this is just opinion, from what I have seen, there's going to be, and of course what we know is that The Rock wanted to have a match with Roman. There's going to be now some sort of bloodline civil war, if you want to call it. So if you,
I'm excited. Bloodline wolf. I mean, I predicted this months ago.
It's going to be a really, really fun thing. And I absolutely think, and I don't know if Sammy will still be the Intercontinental Champion at that point, but this War Games thing of, you know, bloodline white and bloodline red, I think that would be the best way to do Survivor Series this year. And Sammy, you know, I think Roman now coming to terms with all of the bad things that he did in the past 4 years, having a heartfelt moment with the people that he wronged, specifically Sami Zayn, would be the right way to go about this. And have Jey and Jimmy reunite as a tag team again, and have Sammy join them in taking on The Rock, Tama Tonga, Jacob Fatu, and Solo. I think that would be a really awesome way to go about it, because at some point, we also know, as the segment on Monday with The Rock and Cody, there's going to be a match between the two of them. So we don't know when that's going to be. We don't know if it's going to be SummerSlam. Dave Meltzer had reported that it was going to be next year's WrestleMania. God, I hope not, because I don't know if we can wait that long, honestly. But I mean, yeah, of course, that's up to the Rock's schedule. I don't know what the Rock's schedule is. I know he's doing a movie. He's got Moana 2. I don't know
what. A live action Moana at that.
Yeah, so I don't know when he's planning on being back. That hasn't been reported yet. So, and of course, we will report that when we get that story. But I don't know if it should be next year's WrestleMania, honestly. I feel like that should be like a SummerSlam, maybe Survivor Series. Well, I mean, I would rather them do that image, honestly, at Survivor Series of those 8 people. But, yeah, I feel like having it at next year's WrestleMania, we've already had such a long, drawn-out process with Roman and Cody. I don't know if we can do that again with Rock and Cody.
I mean, it would be a lot different because even though Roman wasn't there all the time, Paul Heyman was hyping it up. Roman would occasionally pop in. But The Rock, we might not see Mania next year due to this movie schedule. We don't know.
Yeah.
So, but they did do that with Rock and with Cena. Once in a lifetime, that happened twice.
And maybe three times.
We might have something like, yeah, three times. Yeah, you know, we might have something like that again. Who knows? It worked then. It may work some other time. Let's talk about this before we get off the air. Let's talk about WWE remembering Akebono. Akebono, Japanese sumo wrestler, appeared in the WWE a few times, passed away. He was born in 1969, passed away April 11, 2024. Rest in peace, Akebono. Sometimes legends last, sometimes they don't. Something that really kind of shook me a little bit was the reason The Undertaker showed up at Mania was because they couldn't get Stone Cold Steve Austin. Apparently, WWE couldn't reach a financial agreement with Steve Austin, which led to The Undertaker taking the spot at WrestleMania 40. WrestleFeed provided that information. Also, WrestleFeed provided that The Rock wants to defend the People's Championship in his next match. Can you imagine The Rock just defending some random championship that he wanted?
Yeah, well, so that's now WWE's FTW title.
Pretty much. Okay. Pretty much. It has more weight. It has more weight to it. On WrestleMania 40, night one, Roman Reigns competed in his 1,000th win in the WWE. 1,000 wins.
Wow.
And I know we didn't want to talk about it, but I'm going to go ahead and just spit it out real quick. Wednesday night's AEW Dynamite features.
No. Do not do it.
Let me get it out. I have to get it out because we're fair and impartial here. Wednesday night, CM Punk's AEW Dynamite fight footage drew AEW an astonishing 819,000 views, which was up from the previous week. But after those 819,000 views, it dropped down quickly to about 40,000 views. That was from WrestleFeed as well. But the reason why I brought that up is because Monday Night Raw after Mania, for the first time in the history of the Raw after Mania, drew an average of 2.36 million viewers. That is a 0.083 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic, which is up from the previous week of 1.78 million viewers with a 0.59 rating. Viewership for Raw peaked during Cody Rhodes and The Rock's opening segment, which drew 3.20 million views. 3.2 million views for a 45-minute segment.
Very good.
That segment outdrew the viewership of the Trial of Roman Reigns segment from last year, which drew 3 million views, and it drew over 3 million views on TV and until Cody Rock's segment was there. The Cody and Rock segment has been the most very successful viewed segment in all of WrestleMania weekend. Can you imagine, like, the viewership there? Wow. Crazy.
There was something else I wanted to mention, too. Variety reported that Damian Priest recently signed a deal to be represented by Paradigm, a talent agency, for representation in all areas. So we're seeing now that WWE talent are now being allowed again to sign with talent agencies to get movie deals and a bunch of things. So that's really good for him. We talked about Cody Rhodes. Damian Priest successfully cashed in his Money in the Bank contract WrestleMania Night 2 and became the new
brand new
and because Drew McIntyre won the World Heavyweight Championship from Seth Rollins and then stupidly didn't get the hell out of there, as that video said. Because CM Punk attacked him, and then Damian Priest ran down, cashed in, and became the new So congratulations to the new Damian Priest.
Can I just say that was the funniest of all funniest things I've ever seen in professional wrestling? The fact that Drew McIntyre slid out of the ring, grabbed his wife's phone, sent a tweet that said "bored at work." And then later on, the next tweet was "fuck." Hey, if I gotta say, Damian Priest, congratulations for becoming the new World Heavyweight Champion. The man was homeless 10 years ago. There's nothing you can't do. The guy came from nothing and made himself something. Shout out to him. Jay Cargill made her WrestleMania debut, made her Raw debut or her SmackDown debut. And we also have a match that took place between Tiffany Stratton and Naomi for the number one contendership of the SmackDown Women's Championship. And next week on SmackDown, we have Bayley defending her WWE Women's Championship against Naomi. So I'm excited about that. Bayley came out face. I'm excited about that.
So one of the last things we can also talk about on the AEW side, we found out that Forbidden Door, which was originally reported to be at Arthur Ashe Stadium, was removed from Arthur Ashe Stadium and will now be at the UBS Arena in Long Island. And AEW's pay-per-view schedule has come out for the remainder of the year. So I can read that. I'm going to read that off to you. We've got Dynasty, of course, on April 21st, St. Louis, Missouri. We've got Double or Nothing, Sunday, May 26th, in Las Vegas, Nevada. We've got Forbidden Door, Sunday, June 30th, Long Island, at the UBS Arena. All In, of course, Sunday, August 25th, in London. All Out, they're still doing the All In, All Out thing from last year. In Chicago, so it will be Chicago, All Out. Saturday, October 12th, will be Wrestle Dream in Tacoma, Washington. Saturday, November 23rd, Full Gear in Newark, New Jersey, at the Prudential Center. And Saturday, December 28th, World's End in Orlando, Florida. So, I'm still questioning the All In, All Out, the next week thing. It's a bit strange, but it worked out for them last year. So maybe it'll work out again. So we'll see what happens there. But yes, for we reported on Forbidden Door previously. So now an update to that report. Forbidden Door no longer at Arthur Ashe, now at the UBS Arena in Long Island on Sunday, June 30th.
A lot of things going on in the world of professional wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. It is a pleasure to come here week after week after week to share the information that me and my cohort here, Drew, we can hopefully educate on the world of professional wrestling, the ins and outs, the amazing stories that happen week after week after week. I feel honored and I feel like an honor and a privilege to be able to be here to talk to you guys about it week after week. But before we go, my favorite part of the show, and my favorite part of the show, is reliving the past. Ladies and gentlemen, this today in wrestling history, in 1980, the Wild Samoans, Alpha and Sika, defeated Ivan Putski and Tito Santana for the WWF World Tag Team Championships in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We also had the Outlaw Ron Bass and Stan Hansen defeat Giant Baba and Jumbo Tommy Tsuda for the NWA International Tag Team Belt in 1983. Kenno Nakasaki and Mr. Pogo defeated Chris and Mark Youngblood for the WWC World Tag Team Championship in San Juan, Puerto Rico to begin their third reign. This match was their March 19th match. I don't understand why it says that now. But one Sean Waltman, a youngster known as the Lightning Kid, defeats Matt Deranger for the Pro Wrestling America Light Heavyweight Championship. Eric Embry defeats superstar Bill Dundee for the USWA Texas title in Dallas, Texas. This begins Emery's fifth reign and ended Dundee's second. At the same event, Jeff Jarrett defeats Tom Pritchard in a rematch of their April match to become the third USWA Southern Heavyweight Champion. So many classic things happened on this day. on this day, Monday Night Wars, the WWF Raw is War got a 6.3 rating, beating WCW Nitro's 4.4 rating. Man, Monday Nitro was live from the Yakima Sun Dome in Yakima, Washington, coming off a spring stampede. We had Cruiserweight Champion Rey Mysterio defeat Juventud Guerrero, Bam Bam Bigelow defeated Hugh Morris, El Daniel La Parca defeated the Master Blasters, Billy Kidman defeated Psychosis, Booker T defeated Rick Steiner to retain the WCW World Television Championship, Sting defeated Ric Flair with Arn Anderson in his corner, and WCW World Heavyweight Champion Diamond Dallas Page with his wife Kimberly defeated WCW United States Champion Scott Steiner in a champion versus champion title versus title match to retain this championship. So many things have happened in the world of professional wrestling on this day, and I'd like to say thank you very much for joining us.
Wait.
What you got, Drew?
Before we sign off here, I know we usually end with that, but I want to end on something else actually today, because he's a special person and he deserves all the love in the world.
I didn't forget about that story. I was hoping we weren't going to talk about it, but go right ahead.
I don't know what you think I'm going to say, but it's not that. Okay. I actually want to talk about Big E.
Oh.
Because as we have been recording this, 25 minutes ago, he sent out a tweet that said, "Hey all, 2-year neck scans are in. Things are unchanged. My C1 has healed fibrously, but has not formed a new bone. I'm not medically cleared, and truthfully, I may never be cleared. But I am blessed to be free of pain, immensely happy and otherwise healthy. Life is good." Big E is one of the greatest people in the world. Not even just as a wrestler, just as a human. He is one of the greatest humans. Not one singular bad thing can be talked about when it comes to Big E. And of course, we know 2 years ago he got the neck injury on the SmackDown taping, and he's not been in the ring since. He's done appearances. He's done. He was at WWE World.
WWE Goodwill Ambassador right now, I believe.
Yes, and I got there a little too late. I wanted to be online to meet him, but they had shut the line already, so unfortunately didn't get to meet him. Hopefully that changes at some point. That just broke my heart to read. But in a wrestling sense, because I would love for him to be in the ring again. But he's taking this as best as he can. He's happy. His outlook on it, as he said, he's blessed to be free of pain, immensely happy, otherwise healthy. That's just such a great outlook on life. I aspire to have that outlook on life, honestly. I love that guy. I've never met him before. I've never talked to him before, but I love him. And that's the beauty of professional wrestling.
Shout out to Big E, ladies and gentlemen. Jeez, man. Incredible humanitarian. Just like you said, Drew, an all-good fucking person. And in this world of professional wrestling, there aren't many good people, but Big E's one of them. So, ladies and gentlemen, all thoughts and prayers. Shout out to Big E. With that being said, thank you very much for joining us here on the Roundtable Network News. On Monday, we have very special guests on the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast. Rapper extraordinaire, professional wrestling lover, Mega Ran joins us, along with New Japan Strong Survivor Matt Vandegrift. So, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you tune in. 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll see you Monday with more of the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast.